We could have the invitation now and go home, couldn't we? But we're not going to. We're going to hang around for a few minutes. Lori, where'd she go? There you are. Thank you for singing with such anointing. And not only has the Lord given you a beautiful voice, but a great spirit and a sweet anointing. And I have to say thank you. What a blessing you are today to us. Allow me a moment of personal reflection and praise. And Gail, you did something right raising that girl up there. I'm sure. Wow. It wasn't too many months ago that I had shared a prayer request with our church family. It was kind of a generic request, pray for a member of our family that there had been some problems with, and it was really affecting a lot of folks in the family. And Gail came out one morning as I was shaking hands with people in the back and said, "How can I pray for you? How can I pray for your family?" And I told her the name of one of our grandsons who lives in Texas. There had been an event about a year ago with other members of the family that caused a rift in the family, and I'll tell you, it broke our hearts. And she said, how can I pray for you? I said, pray for our grandson named James. Well, we were in Texas about 2 weeks ago, and James and his wife brought their sweet little granddaughter, our great-granddaughter and their daughter, to see us. And it was a sweet family reunion and healing of lives and answering of prayers, and God gets all the glory. So, Gail, thank you for being a prayer warrior with your pastor. And, Lord, thank you for being such a blessing with us. Let's give the Lord another hand, would you? There are several verses that are in your study, your worship guide this morning, and you'll want to follow along those as you like to. I'll talk to you about victory in the valley one more time, or again this morning. For we've been in this series now for about 7 weeks, and it's taken from the life of David in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 2 and 3. And those verses very, very simply indicate in the commentary that here's where David, the young shepherd boy, made his way to the valley of Elah to meet the giant Goliath. No one could have foretold what was about to happen. We all know the story well, for we've looked over it all of our lives. The truth is, God did a thing there that has made an impact on all men every day since. David found those rocks in that stream, and God anointed David for the battle. And the giant fell dead, and the Israelites won the battle, and the day was won for the Lord. And I think that's a beautiful picture of what God wants to do in all of our lives, that all of us at some time or another face various giants that have affected our life and made an impact upon our lives. I remember years ago, there was a little saying that was going around the country. It's kind of popular. Don't worry. What's the last part of that? Be happy. You remember that too, don't you? Don't worry, be happy. Well, it'd be easy if that was easy to do, but it's not easy to do. So I want to talk to you about how to conquer the giant of worry in the valley of life. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Paul wrote to the church of Philippi and said, "Don't worry about anything." You ever heard anybody preach or somebody teach or somebody sing or somebody share it another way, and they share their experience, their story, their testimony, and you may have thought, well, that's good for you, but that would never happen for us. I want to tell you, God's a God of the impossible. Amen. God's a God of today. God's a God of now. And God's he's not so far away that he can't be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, and he cares about what goes on in our lives. Don't worry about anything. I like Luke's Gospel chapter 10. Martha and Mary were there, and Jesus was a guest often in their home, and they're referred to very often. And Martha was the one who's putting the dinner on the table, getting everything ready to eat supper. And Mary was worshiping at the feet of Jesus. Any of you ladies can identify with this, because there came a time, and later on in the afternoon, right before the meal, Martha said, Jesus, tell that girl to get up off the floor, get into this kitchen, help me. We got guests here tonight, and you're one of them. Jesus said, Martha, Mary has chosen that which is the good part. And what Jesus was saying was, what honors the Lord is the worship of God's people. And Mary learned a very valuable lesson of that day. Martha did too, that God seeks worshipers to wait to lay at His feet their burdens and their hurts and their heartaches and their cares. Don't worry about anything. And Paul said to the church of Philippi, Martha was the worrier and Mary was the worshiper. But I think that changed that day. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, there are three times that Jesus said, don't worry. In fact, let's read that passage together, beginning in verse 25. Reading down through verse 34. Matthew 6. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or man's desires. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Don't spend your time worrying about what you're going to put on, what you're going to wear. Life is more important than that. Let the Lord handle your burdens and your desires and your needs. Behold the fowls of the air, how they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Verse 27. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit or 18 inches unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow and how they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat or drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Verse 34, take no thought for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Someone once wrote, and I think wisely, so worry rules over more people than any king who ever sat on a throne. If I could take a moment and just come up and down the aisle and up and down the row and talk to you personally about your burdens, your hurts, your concerns, your cares, there probably would not be a single one here today who's not struggled with some kind of area of life where you found yourself worrying about what was going to happen, how it was going to be handled. So Jesus, I'm glad Jesus dealt with the problem of worry. That's what He dealt with in the problem of our text. And Jesus said several things. In fact, in our text in Matthew's Gospel chapter 6, He said several things about worry that I want to think about for just a brief moment this morning. First of all, the problem of worry. Worry is destructive, verses 22 and 23. Jesus uses the words, you can't serve two masters, you'll either hate one or love the other. Take no thought for your life, in verse 25, what you should eat or drink, what you should put on. The life is more than meat, and more the body is more than raiment. Verses 22 and 23, verse 23 particularly, if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Jesus said, worry is like darkness where light ought to be shining. James says in chapter 1, verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So one of the things I want us to think about together for just a brief moment is worry is destructive to the child of God. You may not feel like it is, but it eats away at your joy and robs you of your victory in the Lord and leaves you a vulnerable person for the devil to get into your heart and get into your head and cause you to wonder where God is. Like that song that Laura sang about so beautifully a while ago, Lord, we feel like sometimes you're running late, but I found out God's always an on-time God. He's always here on time. Worry will steal your joy. Some of you are addicted to worry. And I wrote this down and underlined it in my notes. You worry because there's nothing to worry about. Some people are just chronic worriers, and I suppose I've been there from time to time. But the problem of worry is very real. Worry is not only destructive, it's disabling. Disabling in verse 24. You can't serve two people, God and mammon. When we worry, we tie the hands of God. So much more the Lord wants to do in our lives and through us and for us, but we sometimes find ourselves making it difficult for the Lord to bless us like He wants to because we're so overtaken with grief and with worry. Worry is destructive. Work is disabling. Worry is useless. Doesn't help anything. Doesn't help you to get any taller. In fact, how many of you think that you can add 18 inches to your height? How much life might be different? Well, the truth is, we don't have that capacity. And the Lord says, don't spend your time worrying about things you can't change or you can't affect. Worry is destructive, it's disabling, it's useless, doesn't help. And it's faithless. In verse 30, Jesus said, oh, you faithless, oh, ye are of little faith. Worry is a barrier to the growing faith of a child of God. We'll talk about having victory in the valleys of life, the valley of worry. And worry is carnal. Unbelievers worry about these things. And Satan says, what are you going to do if? And he paints a picture of the worst scenario in life. So the truth is, worry is destructive. It's disabling. It's useless. It's faithless. It's carnal. And it robs the child of God of their testimony and of our victory and of our joy and of our peace. Not only is the problem of worry very obvious, but God's prescription for worry is even sweeter. In Matthew's gospel, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What do you do when you find yourself a captive to worry? Get your priorities, first of all, in order. Have a few moments and evaluate what are your priorities spiritually. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So God's prescription for worry is, first of all, get your priorities in order. I've been amazed at how many things in my life God's been able to deal with more effectively when I got to the place where I took my hands off of it and said, Lord, I'm sorry. Do what you want to do in my life, and I want just to be your servant, and I want to seek first the kingdom of God, and I know you're going to take care of all these other things that are on my prayer list now. Get your priorities in order. Number two, I like this one, live in the present, verse 34. Live in the what? Live in the present. Don't simply live in the past that you can't recall or can't change. Live in the present. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Do not worry about tomorrow. You've got enough on your plate today. Today is all we have. Today is all we need. Today is all we can handle. Get your priorities in order. Live in the present. Number three, celebrate the Lord's promises, power, and purpose. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, what, church? Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, even in the good times as well as the bad times, or even in the bad times as well as the good. Celebrate God's promises when you're fretful and you're worried. You'll be amazed how God so quickly can restore your song even in the darkest night. I like this one. Talk to God about your concerns. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing or stop worrying. Through prayerful and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. Look, evaluate your prayer life. How much time is spent casting all your care upon the Lord because He cares for you? And so talk to God about your concerns. Celebrate the Lord's promises, His power, and His purpose. I like this one. Claim God's promise of peace. And the peace of God in Philippians 4:7, which passeth all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. You can worry or you can worship. What do you do when you come to the places in life where the victory is replaced by a valley? or valley replaces victory. Truth is, claim God's promise of peace. God wants to give us peace in the midst of the storm. Talk to God about your concerns. Celebrate the Lord's promises, His power, and His purpose. Admit you need God's help. 1 Peter 5, 6. Humble yourself, therefore, to God. You might even want to say a prayer something like this. Lord, I can't do this on my own. And I've so many times come to the place where I realize, Lord, all the blessings of life that you've given me have not equipped me to deal with life on my own terms and in my own strength. But I need God's help. Humble yourself before God. And God is a God of the impossible. And He's a God who will get you through your storms. And then lastly, trust Jesus. 1 Peter 5, 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Refuse to take back the burdens of life. Refuse to take back those difficult, dark days. Refuse to, Satan. Refuse to take them back. Satan, right here and right now, I make up my mind to claim the promises of God. Right here, right now, I claim to stand on your promises, love you, live for you, and honor you, and serve you, and bless your holy name. I'm not going to spend my day complaining or worrying about things I can't change or fix. But I just trust you, Lord, to do the impossible. And Gail, every time I think about answered prayer, I think about you and about how God used you in my life and the life of your pastor. Thank you for helping me to realize how God wants to move us beyond our worries and to walk in faith. I don't know who's here this morning who's struggling with areas of life. Maybe there are problems like Laura sang about that you just don't feel like God's showing up for you. But God wants to, and God's got all the ability in the world to minister to you in ways that only God can. In a moment, we're going to have a moment of invitation. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus, we invite you to make your way down this aisle and come saying, I'm a sinner. I'm going to trust the Lord Jesus as my Savior, turning from sin and turning my faith to Him. Today I come to give my life to Jesus. Or you may be saved and yet you need to come. You've allowed life's difficulties to get you down. You've been discouraged and defeated. It's a good time to renew your walk with the Lord, renew your walk of faith. Say, Lord, I'm not going to let the devil and all the demons of hell rob me of my peace and joy anymore. I want deliverance out of the valley of worry. And I want your victory to be for your glory as well as my good. The altar is always open. Let's bow our hearts together, shall we? Simon Peter said we're to cast all of our care upon the Lord because He cares for us. Do what you can. God, do what you can't do. Determined to be a worshiper and not a worrier. And claim that promise, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. His mind is stayed on thee. Lord, you are an awesome God. You are so, so good, as Laura sang about this morning. We love and bless you. We've got a God who's worthy of our praise. And there's victory in the valleys of life for the child of God. For anybody who places their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. Lord, speak to hearts. Lord, that the folks that you want to save, Lord, that your Holy Spirit's drawing, if they are, I pray that you'll draw them to yourself this morning. And those who are discouraged and worriers because they're not sure how they can fix things in life that are going so wrongly. I pray, Lord, that today you'll begin to transform their lives and show up in a powerful, personal way. Lord, give us deliverance from the valley of worship. May today you get the glory as we allow you to be Lord in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you join me today? We'll stand together, please. Reverend T's going to come and lead us in a hymn of invitation. You respond however God may be speaking to your heart.
If you'll turn to 142, please. 142, we're going to sing There is a